This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today, we're marking World Obesity Day. And we're going to have an important and very honest conversation about our children's health. In a world of busy schedules, convenience foods, screens, and constant marketing, raising healthy kids can be very overwhelming. As parents, we want our children to grow up strong, confident, and comfortable in their own bodies. But how do we actually build healthy habits without creating stress, shame, or food battles at home? To guide us through this conversation today, I am joined by Natasha Willefier. She's been on the show before many times, a very well-known dietitian and lactation consultant who will help us unpack what childhood obesity means, what contributes to it, and most importantly, what practical, realistic steps parents can take to support healthy growth from babyhood right through to, I guess, teens. But I think if you have a good foundation,
it makes things so much easier.
Personally, I've shared this many times before now that I think everyone on my show, Natasha, already knows I'm a runner. And a lot of lifestyle changes have come with this for me. I'm now at the point where finally I can say my eating and my exercise is a lifestyle. It's no longer something I really overly think or something that kind of just happens. But I do have to say, it took years. It didn't take weeks. It didn't take months. It took years to get to this point. I think that's what kind of makes it a little bit harder to, I don't know if that's good news for people, but let's try to make it more practical. No,
you're definitely not the only one. I think, personal experience as well. And even with the patients that I see, it's so, so frequently, that's exactly what I hear. And that's exactly what I've experienced as well. It takes a while to get comfortable in your body and realize what you're doing for your body. Is it good? Is it bad? And how does it make you feel overall?
And I mean, it's a confusing world. But I mean, it's World Obesity Day, observed every year on the 4th of March. Who knew? What is this year's focus and why is it important, especially for parents?
So the theme this year, the global theme, is 8 billion reasons to act on obesity. And they are basing it as every one of the 8 billion people that we have on Earth at this point in time deserves environments that really support health. Because obesity is not just an individual issue, but it reflects what's going on around us. And unfortunately, there's a lot of systems that are failing us as families and making the journey a lot harder. In South Africa this year, we're specifically focusing on changing systems for healthier lives. Because families very often are doing their best, but the environments around us are not necessarily supportive of what we're trying to get to.
And I mean, it's hard. I mean, even eating healthy sometimes is hard. It's also expensive, I feel, to be honest. And I think that doesn't add to an environment. Also, I mean, if I think sometimes, I mean, even just the word obesity, I mean, we also not here to shame or whatever, something from our perspective, this is for me. And that's kind of also the message I'm trying to send to my daughter. It's not about being fat or skinny or something like that. Sometimes you have a big butt and it's genetically what you have. There's nothing you're going to
do about it. No, it's not at all about body shaming. Yeah. It is about better health.
It is about, and that's exactly it. And for me also, what comes with it is feeling strong.
Yes, absolutely.
Healthy is for me feeling strong. And that's the feeling I want to create for also my daughter and the image I want for her. But that being said, I mean, now I use the word fat. Maybe I don't know if that's right. But what is obesity?
So it's a very chronic and complex disease. And I think the important thing to realize is it's not a lifestyle choice. It's not simply as a result of laziness or as a result of potentially poor parenting or anything like that. It involves excess body fat that increases the risk of health problems. And in children, we use specific age-specific growth charts to have a look at where they are and to diagnose them. So it's not just looking at someone and going, oh, I think you're on this or that side. It really is a process. And it's also, it's a medical condition and not just a cosmetic issue. It's not just what we see. So it is influenced by biology, by the environment we live in, by marketing, as you mentioned, the food systems and many social factors. And it's very important. And I think, as you mentioned, as a disclaimer, it's so important to realize that children grow at different rates and not every chubby baby or child has obesity. The diagnosis should really be done by a healthcare professional. And we should then work out a plan to get onto a healthier lifestyle as such. In South Africa, unfortunately, we also still see the double burden of malnutrition. So we have undernourished children, stunted children who are short for their age, and obesity that exists side by side, and sometimes even in the same household, which makes it even more complex. So it's really important that the focus overall and the focus of this interview also should be on health and not on size. It's not at all aimed at blaming or at using appearance-based language or anything like that.
And I love that. In all honesty, that's why I wanted to say that before, because that's, like I said, sometimes it's just, you know, I'm tall.
Stop growing. You shouldn't be so tall. I mean, you're out of the norm. Stop growing.
You know, so there is certain things that I think is definitely genetic. But the reality is also, it is important to have the awkward conversation is that it is, sometimes I feel people blame genetics.
Yes.
There's a difference between being healthy and looking healthy, I guess. if I'm saying it in the right way. But for me, it is very important that we are creating a healthy environment
Absolutely.
For our children. And I think that's sometimes a tricky thing
it
as
is,
well.
It is, definitely. And those conversations are not easy. Very often, we also grew up with certain images of our own bodies, and we portrayed that to our daughters especially, but obviously also our sons. And that takes a mind shift on our side to go, hold on, how am I seeing my body? How am I talking about my body? And what is my daughter learning from how I'm treating my body?
Yeah. So it is a little bit of introspection, I think, in Definitely. These type of things that's also important. And again, that for me is important before you expect your child to be healthy, because that's your responsibility. I'm very sorry.
Absolutely.
As a parent, it is your responsibility to ensure that your child is healthy
yes.
and eating healthy.
And grows up with a healthy background to know how to continue into their own
and
life.
And it is not always easy.
Absolutely.
I also obviously eat sometimes takeaways.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a space for that.
Yeah.
But need to talk about the bigger picture and how big is that space? Is it an everyday thing?
And in all honesty, sometimes my kids call me like literally the ruiner of fun.
I don't think you're a good parent. You're not the ruiner of fun occasionally.
Because they literally, if it was up to them, I mean, especially now my husband is away, then eating takeaways and things like that, then they think we can do that all the time.
I think that's where the conversation comes in. The environment is built in a way that it's easy to grab something quick. It's easy to go for the easy option, but easy is not always the best option.
No, for sure not.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today marks World Obesity Day. And we are, I'm joined here with Natasha Olafie talking about how we can create healthy lives for ourselves and for our children in the end of the day. And also, I think a lot of about it. And I think the reality for me also about obesity and when we talk healthy eating and stuff is a lot about the image of it, because I think that unfortunately, and I think it's always been like that, to be honest. We can pretend what we want. I think it's more in our face now because of social media, but women have always been portrayed in a certain way.
But it has gotten a lot worse over the last couple of years amongst adults and children, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it really, it's shocking for me even to see my own daughter. And I feel I'm really, I'm not going to say I'm like the best at anything. I'm a parent, so I'm always mediocre. But I feel I'm pretty good at portraying, like I said, for me, it's about, I'm always trying to create the message of, I want to be healthy so I can be strong, so I can do things for as long a period.
Exactly.
As
I think that's the big thing.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. But it is, even with her, even without me doing those things, she's still exposed to certain things.
Absolutely.
And she still is like consciously aware that, you know, she is skinny and she is tall and she realizes it. I think 12 is obviously a very specific age for certain things, but it is scary. But I mean, in the end of the day, let's come back to the topic at hand. Okay. What drives obesity and why? And I mean, it's shocking. I mean, you were saying that 8 billion people around the world, and I mean, what's the rate of those people? How many of those are
obese? In South
Africa,
it's approximately 40% of our adults. And in terms of overweight and obesity, more than two-thirds of our women in South Africa are overweight or obese.
And I mean, honestly, you should go listen. Earlier this year, I had a talk with Kath McGaw, and we were talking about diabetes. And the big game changer between what type 1 diabetes, that's genetic, you're born,
it's programmed.
But it is, you're born with it. In the end of the day, there's nothing you can do. But type 2 diabetes is because of lifestyle, and you can get it. And I mean, for me, it was, I didn't even know that. And that's why type 2 diabetes is on the
exploding,
rise.
Absolutely.
Is because of the way that we're eating and what we're eating. And
And it starts younger and younger.
So that's the reality is that if you are not creating these healthy things for your children, it's a serious health risk that we're talking about here. But what drives obesity and why are these rates so high?
So I think, unfortunately, we're living in changing environments, changing systems that really predispose us to this very often. And it starts early. It really starts early. If we look at nutrition in pregnancy, nowadays it's seen as the great excuse to eat for two. And we're focusing on everything we can have and these crazy cravings we can have. And it's an excuse for everything. And we should be focusing on, yes, nutrients for two, but not energy for two. And then also, unfortunately, in terms of birth weight, both underweight babies and large for gestational age babies both have an increased risk of overweight and obesity, and with that, type 2 diabetes. And then we also see a lot in terms of how we are feeding our children from birth, from bottle-free feeding, force feeding them, pressuring them to finish their bottle, finish their plate of food. Mm. Whatever we've decided they should be eating, they need to finish that because that's how we grew up. If we look at our diet
and
environment.
I just have to add into that, like, it is still, and I mean, that's what I was saying, that introspection is also very important in this conversation, because even for me, as an adult, that is something I still to this day, especially when we go to a restaurant,
yes,
obviously at home, I know how much I generally
eat,
so I dish up according to that. But at a restaurant, often that, and it is still to this day, one of the most difficult things for me is to send food back.
It feels like waste, and that's how we were raised. And I mean, it is a waste in a way. Yeah. But what are you wasting? Are you wasting your health or are you wasting food? So it's a difficult conversation.
And my husband is like so good with that. And it's like, it is so ridiculous. Sometimes he has like this tiny piece of steak left. And I was like, how are you not just eating that? It's like, but I'm full. I'm like, how? And again, that is... that is something that we were ingrained with.
Absolutely.
And it's difficult. And we don't want to create that link to our children.
No, and the problem that has come in is this has come from the finishing your food, not wasting, etc. Came from two or three generations ago when food was something that was unprocessed and there was only a certain amount available. So you didn't want to waste.
No.
But our food environment has changed completely. We have foods around us all the time, and many of those foods are processed foods. So they are easy foods, and we nibble a bit here, nibble a bit there, and we keep on eating, and we can't listen to our body anymore. So we can't keep on parenting or eating the way that we used to 2 or 3 generations ago, because our environment has changed completely and food is always available and generally not the healthiest option. The processed food is the easy option that you just grab and go, whereas, you know, getting an apple, you need to wash the apple and then you need to chew the apple and it's not something that just disappears, etc. So I think the environment is the big thing. The system has changed and we need to adjust to that, because otherwise we're just going to see rising rates in terms of obesity.
And I mean, that environment, and again, it is because everything, like I said, parenting has changed. We are busy and it is so easy.
It is so easy. And as you mentioned, parenting has changed. I mean, back in the day in many households, one, there was help at home, and two, one of the parents worked. Whereas nowadays we see in most households, both parents work full time. If they are two parents, many households are single parent households. So, I mean, I can't blame you if you come home at night and you don't feel like cooking a big meal and making a fancy lunchbox.
Not everyone can cook.
Exactly. And that's a skill that's unfortunately getting lost nowadays as well. Teach your kids to cook.
Yeah, I mean, that's also like, that's actually a good tip. And I love cooking, that luckily. But it's also, I have to say, a skill that I never cooked. Never. I don't know if it was like a feminist movement or something that I had within myself, because my mom always cooked the meals. Yes. So in my head, it was in some way something I didn't want to
do. Yes, that you kind of.
And I literally only started cooking when we got married, me and my husband. Before that, never.
Yeah.
I don't even know what we ate before. I mean, it was a very long time ago. I'm talking 17 years ago. So I can't even remember. But I literally, when we got married, then I thought, you know what? I think maybe it's time that I start at least trying. And now I'm loving it. The only thing I hate about preparing meals is deciding what to make.
Exactly.
But we're going to get to that.
We're going to get to all those things.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And today we're marking World Obesity Day and talking about how we can create a healthy lifestyle for our children and why it's so important that we do this. And I mean, for me, the why is important. The reality is that I do, not I, you as a parent, it's your responsibility to create a healthy environment for your child. And a big part of this is nutrition. And in all honesty, it infiltrates so many aspects of everything. I train a lot and I run a lot. And I can tell you, I can feel the difference in a week where I haven't eaten properly.
Absolutely.
So I know from that perspective. I can also see from my son, if he doesn't eat during the day at school, and because he's so busy, such a hard life being 14, what an impact something like that can have.
Yeah, what the mood in the afternoon is.
And his concentration. Exactly. And then it's the teacher saying, no, he wasn't concentrating in the class because his blood sugar levels are dropping.
There's no energy to concentrate.
But that is it exactly. Why is obesity such a concern? And what are the health? I mean, we've talked a bit about it already, but what are some of the health consequences?
Yeah, so I think in the short term, unfortunately, we all know kids are not the kindest to one another, and it does predispose you to bullying. It does predispose you to a low self-esteem simply because of the stigma that is out there, that this is something you did to yourself because of laziness, which we know is not true, but our kids still see that. Many adults even still see it that way.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stigma around that. And then you have simple things.
I mean, I want to say, like, I mean, you say it's not true. I mean, I also don't think that a child on purpose wants to make himself fat.
Agreed.
But I also don't want to say that there is no self-responsibility.
Yet. No, but I think the responsibility very often lies with the parents.
Yes. No,
especially with young kids.
I definitely think we shouldn't be like, you know what, my kid is fat and I
and it's just happening to me and I can't do
there's definitely
about it.
Always exceptions to the case and whatever, and there's ways you can change it. That is also, so it's also not from a judgment perspective here, but I also don't want to completely diffuse the conversation and say there's no responsibility.
Absolutely.
I want you to know that this is a serious thing. And there is something we as parents can do about it.
And the big reality is obesity is one of the hardest things to treat and reverse. So if we can prevent it from the get-go, we are doing our kids a huge, huge favor. Yeah. And obviously sidestepping things like bullying, low self-esteem, etc. Yeah.
But anyway, we were talking about like the impact. And I mean, I also don't think this is rocket science. No. We know.
We know it, but a lot of things, we just need that reminder. I think it continues then with, if you think about sport, if you're not feeling great, you're feeling heavy, etc., you don't want to run, you don't want to engage, and you start really having joint strain, joint pain. It starts becoming something you don't want to do. And we know the more sedentary, unfortunately, the more obesity rises. We can even have breathing problems. And then unfortunately, and this is the big one, we can have early signs of insulin resistance, elevated blood pressure, and we are seeing type 2 diabetes being diagnosed in young children. This used to be an illness that we have in our 40s, 50s plus. We are seeing this in our teens and even before that. So this is a scary reality. And then obviously, if we look in terms of the long-term effects, we have this huge risk of type 2 diabetes. We have hypertension, high blood pressure, and that plays into heart disease risk, stroke risk, fatty liver disease, some cancers, etc. And like we mentioned, this increased risk of adult obesity, because we know it tracks into adulthood. If you start obese as a child, it's very, very hard to reverse it. And it is probably going to follow you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like that beautiful book, and now I can't remember the name of it, that Kath McGaw wrote with Jenny Rose, and all about, like, because I mean, just from what you were now saying, like the bullying part of it, and that's kind of what I want to drive home about this conversation as well, and why it's important that we have these awkward conversations about obesity, and because I feel it's a much larger risk than just you're going to get type 2 diabetes.
Absolutely. I was actually shocked and had to go back and check that I read it correctly, but the annual cost of obesity and side effects in South Africa, not globally, in South Africa, is something like 33 billion rand a year. I mean, that is insane if you think about it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also because I feel, again, my perception about being healthy and consequently, I guess, being in shape.
Yes.
Is that I'm feeling strong.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, Discovery loves me. As a client. And Vitality loves me as a client because I'm a lot less sick.
Yes.
My mental health is
much better.
Relatively, I'm still slightly insane. No, but I mean, in the end of the day, those are the type of consequences that
it affects everything. It does not just affect the weight you see on the scale.
And also, I mean, that self-image and that type of things, and the type of things that you can do. And like you said, the joint issues, because you're carrying, I mean, in essence, 5 to 10 kilos with you extra. Obviously, that has an impact on your joints. And again, on your mental health.
Yes. I mean, if you think about it, I know we had a friend back in the day when I was little who said, just think about it. If you take those big jugs of water, those 10-liter buckets of water, and try and carry those with you for a day, it's so much extra effort. It leaves you tired. It leaves you fatigued. It leaves you not list for anything else. It really affects your life in so many ways.
Okay, so let's stop talking about
how bad it is.
Because, I mean, and again, I don't feel this is rocket science. This is actually things we know, especially as a parent. Yeah. We know how important this is, how important nutrition is. But let's talk about how can we prevent it.
Absolutely.
And manage it in the end of the day, because that's what you're saying. In the end of the day, prevention is always better than cure.
It's always better. I think the important thing to realize with this is it's not something that starts once you see your child is struggling with weight. It's something that should start during pregnancy. You want to make sure that you are giving your child the best chance during pregnancy by eating a nutrient-dense diet and not carelessly eating for two and indulging in cravings. Then we know there's a lot of evidence to show that we want to promote exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months and continued breastfeeding for as long as possible. We want to introduce our iron-rich foods first. So focus on what your baby needs. When we're giving complementary foods, they need extra iron. They don't need extra sugar. They don't need extra fruit juice. They don't need extra all those fancy kind of things. They need iron-rich foods. And that's what we want to focus on. And then very, very importantly, avoid sugary drinks and juice for babies and young children. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends no juice up until 2 years. And even after that, limited amounts. A lot of kids nowadays bottle. Once they don't drink milk anymore, they drink juice from it. So that's the important things. And then I want to move on into what you do as a family, because we spoke about it a lot. It's about being that role model and, you know, giving them something to live up to. And you need to model healthy eating. They need to see you eating vegetables. They need to see you eating broccoli. They need to see you preparing and buying those kind of things. One of the big things is eating meals together. We don't want the kids to be eating on the run and us eating when they're in bed, etc. If we sit together as a family, mealtimes are calmer. We have a bit of time to talk in between. We can actually focus on what we're eating and not just watch a movie. And I mean, we've all done it. Watch a movie and by the time you look again, your chips packet or your popcorn is empty and you didn't even realize you breathed it in. So you're a lot more present with that if you're eating as a family. And then also, again, the focus on homemade meals. Get your kids involved and get them involved early. Give them measuring cups. Give them wooden spoons, whatever to play with. But have them part of this. This is something we do as a family. And again, a lot of us grew up that it was something that mom did. And I think that is something that needs to change if both parents are working. Get everyone involved. Have someone chop the onions. Have someone wash the veggies. Get everyone involved and focus on your lean proteins, lots of vegetables and fruit and your whole grain carbs. Limit your convenience foods, your ultra processed foods. Yes, they are fine for occasionally, but they shouldn't be your mainstay in terms of what you're planning.
And I mean, just how you're explaining it as well. And again, just highlights what an important factor nutrition and eating is in our lives. And so many parents, when I'm assisting them with sleep and things like that as well, then they're like, yo, we come home late and we don't have time and we don't have this and whatever for bonding and things like that. And they want to, that's why my child goes to bed at 9 because we don't have time to bond and we need some time. Just now, the opportunities of bonding that you can create with your child when you include them in the feeding. And even from small age, I can tell you, your baby can be in a high chair next to you while you're cooking and talking with them, giving them something.
Playing with a carrot.
Playing whatever type of thing. Or while your partner is bathing them and things like that. But yes, I'm loving this conversation. So more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, marketing, World Obesity Day, talking about how we can create, not just healthy habits for our children, but mentally healthy. That's kind of for me so far, the takeaway from this conversation is like the huge impact that good nutrition has on our overall well-being.
Absolutely.
And opportunities for our children. If you've just joined me, where have you been? I've been talking to dietitian and lactation consultant Natasha Olafield, and we've been talking about this very important topic. Don't stress though if you've missed it so far. Please remember that this show and all of my shows are available as a podcast on highfm.com for you to go listen to. I mentioned earlier that one of the topics that I've spoken about earlier this year was also talking about type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Also a nice add-on to this conversation if you're on the fence, which honestly, you shouldn't be. I don't feel this is something new or something. But I mean, again, Natasha, before we went to the ad break, we were speaking about ways and why it's so nice to kind of have this opportunities of meal times where it's not just about the food. Obviously.
Absolutely not. No, it's so, so much bigger. And I think the thing that we want to keep in mind, while yes, we want to focus on our healthy foods, we absolutely don't want to go the way of saying this is good food and this is bad food. So it's about how we talk about food, how we talk about our body as well. Yes, we want to rather talk to children about how this food can help you be strong, can help you build your muscles, can help you give you the energy for your sports in the afternoon, and move away from labeling things, foods, bodies as good or bad. So that's very important. And then what I also just want to add on is we don't want to use food as a reward. I see it so, so often. If you're party training or good behavior or marks at school, whatever, you get a sweetie. take that association away. Rather do something where you do something together as a family, or you have a movie evening, or you do whatever, but do not use food as a reward. Because we are training our kids' brains to go, these foods, this chocolate, this sweet is something special. It is something that I should long for because it's something my mom or my dad put on a pedestal as something special. Rather spend time as a family. Don't label your food as good and bad, and don't use it as a reward. And then there's simple things that we can look in terms of behavior around mealtimes, especially with little kids. We see it very, very often. They'll come, they're hungry, you give them something to eat, then you get to lunch, they're not hungry because they just had a snack. Yeah. They're grazing throughout the day, and generally those grazing options are not the healthiest options. So we want to really provide a structure to go, this is when mealtimes are, and in between we have growing times, we have learning times, but it's not a constant eating, eating, eating. So that we can also train our children or make them in tune with their own signals to go, now I'm hungry, okay, dinner's in half an hour, that's when I'll be eating. I need to eat enough because I'm not going to be eating again for the next half an hour, for the next 2 to 3 hours. And we want them to really be in tune with their own hunger and fullness cues. And they can't be in tune with that if they're constantly eating, because they're never going to get hungry, and they're never going to get that, okay, I'm hungry.
And
okay,
I also feel, but also that satiated is also important, because again, you mentioned that earlier, is that sometimes we are like, they have to finish it, and we get worried if they're not feeling. And I really just want to reiterate this. It takes about 5 to 7 days for someone to starve of hunger.
And there are obviously situations where there are clinical issues where you cannot handle it that way. But in the vast majority of the population, you can let your kids experience hunger. It is something that is important for them to learn. This is how my body feels if I'm hungry. Then I eat something. I feel satiated, and then I'm good to go for a while. I don't have to constantly be snacking and grazing on something.
Yeah. And also a very important note that I feel that's also important, especially with toddlers, is that often they say they're hungry and they're thirsty.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
And it's really, so offer also lots of time, even you as an adult.
Yes. Try to drink a glass of water before and see how it goes.
And it's very often it's like you feel like almost hungry or something. And sometimes it's just like you're thirsty. And I think we don't drink enough water.
No, absolutely. And I think that's super important. As much as you don't want to give food during the day, make sure that they always have access to clean water that they can drink. When they're little, put a sippy cap, show them where their caps are, teach them to ask if they want to drink something, and then make sure that the drink of choice is water.
And I mean, I feel like if there's one thing that you can change now, I mean, I don't feel any of the things that we've said so far is horrible things or complicated things. But I honestly have to say, if there's one thing you can change, is teaching your child to drink water.
Absolutely.
And so many parents have told me also, like, oh, I hate water.
Yeah. You need to be the example.
Why do you want your child to hate water? It's so easy to get. It's the cheapest option you have. And it really is not bad.
Right, and it doesn't have strange additives and preservatives, etc. in it. So it's really
And just because you don't like it doesn't mean your child doesn't have to
No,
like
and that
it.
Might be something for you to also start changing your thinking. Because remember, you are the role model. If you're going to be drinking fruit juice and Coke and ask your child to drink water, that's going to be a bit of a difficult situation.
And I mean, and it's really like, I have to say that for me, it's one of the proudest things for me is when my children often, I mean, when we go to restaurants, always the first drink we have is something water. It's something else actually.
Yes. But it's limited.
Because we they have one drink, like, but it's often something like a milkshake or something.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
That and then it's always water, so we always standard with like one bottle of sparkling
one
water
drink.
One bottle of still
and you
water
can have that drink of special, that is perfectly fine, but as long as we don't put it as a pedestal and it's not always the most amazing thing that we have.
But I feel also I get what you're saying with that. But they do. My children, I really tried.
They don't
like broccoli.
No.
They don't. It's just, and I don't think it's necessarily something that I created or something. No. They do realize that they like certain foods and
absolutely.
Whatever. And to be honest, there's so many options.
There are, and I
vegetables.
Think the reality is you want to play into offering that regularly and not going, oh, my child doesn't eat broccoli, doesn't eat vegetables. We'll just go to an easy option and they'll have pasta for dinner.
And I mean, it's really easy also to hide
vegetables.
Not always the ideal, but we can always add that onto. And I, like you said, I mean, there are so many vegetables. If broccoli is not their main thing, not your main thing,
give
find
them
something else.
I really do feel that there is enough. There, I mean, again, options. I don't say, and it, but my kids eat often also. If I make bolognese and stuff like that, there's always a little bit extra stuff.
Absolutely.
That they think, oh, I don't never eat this, that they eat. It's like anchovies. My family thinks that they never have anchovies or onions. If
no,
they know
there's
how
a lot
much
of things
onions
that you can incorporate
they eat, they would be surprised.
No,
about
absolutely
what's going on.
Absolutely.
But again, also, I'm a very big advocate of that kids also need to know what things taste like.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's like often I grew up like that, like the beans, the green beans had lots of potato
yes
in there. And my kids to this day love my mom's, like,
but I mean, it is tasty
course that she makes. But her pumpkin also has lots of sugar.
Lots of butter, absolutely.
And which is great. I loved it and it was fine. But in the same breath, they often like, oh, Oma's vegetables are much nicer. Obviously. So,
no, and I think the last point that we need to mention there as well is physical activity. Yeah. Nowadays, our kids are spending a lot more time in front of screens, and we need to make sure that they play outside and have that time out and don't just sit inside and behind screens.
But again, leading by example.
For sure.
More on just this now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And yes, you've missed most of my show, so too bad for you. But luckily, you can listen to it as a podcast on highfm.com. Afterwards, this show and all of my shows are available for you to go listen to. And to be honest, there's a very big variety of different topics that we've covered. Today, we marked World Obesity Day, and it's been a wonderful conversation with you.
Oh, Natasha. I loved having it.
Of just showing about the, for me, the takeaway has been how important nutrition is in overall well-being. And it's such an integral part of our lives, I feel. But yes, what do you feel is the closing message for today?
So I think World Obesity Day is such a nice reminder that every child deserves a fair start. Healthy habits don't start at school. They don't start later in life. They really start in the womb during pregnancy, at the family table where we spend time together, in our schools, in our communities. And we need to change the systems that shape those habits. And unfortunately, we don't always have authority on all the big systems, but we can make small changes in our households, and that's important. Obesity is preventable through small changes starting early, and that can really shape lifelong health. We don't need perfect parenting, but we need supportive environments and consistent, realistic habits. As the topic mentioned, we have 8 billion reasons to act, and millions of South African children are among those that we can improve the future for.
Oh, and it starts at home.
It absolutely
You don't have to change all of the children. No, you just have to change your own. And again, the big takeaway, I don't feel anything that we've said is something that people don't know.
No. And it's not impossible to do those things, but it takes a conscious effort.
And it's going to be good for you.
Yes, absolutely.
It's going to be good for your children and for the future that they have. Yes. Because even if you are struggling with obesity yourself, you have to keep in mind that this is not something that you necessarily want to continue with.
Yes.
And it is possible, but it also shouldn't be, you don't have to go out there and change the world.
No, start at home.
Yeah, and also small things moving in the right direction.
Yes.
You don't have to change everything overnight.
No, absolutely. Pick a step, stick to that, and then build on that.
Natasha, it was great having you. You go, where can people find you?
So you can find me on the internet. I have a website at www.lactationdietitian.co.za, or you can send me an email at lactationdietitian@gmail.com, or you can send me a WhatsApp or give me a call on 072-606-4320.
Ah, great. Thank you so much. Remember, parenting is not about perfection. It is about intention. When it comes to our children's health, small, consistent habits truly make the biggest difference over time. Parenting is a long game.
For sure.
As always, take what you need from today's conversation and leave what you don't. Every family is different. Every child is different. And you get to decide what works in your home. Thank you so much, Natasha, for sharing such valuable insight with us today. And if this episode encouraged you, share it with other parents because supported parents raise thriving children. And most importantly, please let's all go out there and be kind. Until next time, have a good day.